Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Ganey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today it's all about family on this episode because we are talking about Fast X, the latest installment in the Fast and Furious franchise, which has been going on for quite some time now. This is not the last one. This is either the second to last one or the third to last one, according to what Vin Diesel has said. So it might be one or two more of these movies still to come. There's definitely at least one more, but maybe two. So we'll have to wait and see. But we'll dissect Fast X today here on the show. Obviously, a lot to say about this movie involving Vin Diesel and a numerous cast of characters in this one. So we do have some sad news, though, to start out. Music icon Tina Turner passed away earlier today. We are recording this on May 24th. She passed away this afternoon at the age of 83. Obviously known for so many great songs that are still very popular to this day. And then there was that movie that came out about her. What was that? A couple years ago, I think.
So, oh, I forgot about that.
I think it did a couple years ago. So I'll look that up. But obviously a legend, like in the music industry for sure.
Yeah. I felt really bad, Jared, because tomorrow's my dad's birthday, which I'm excited about and very happy he's alive and well. But he really liked Tina Turner and he is not impressed. He's not easily impressed, I should say, by performers and stuff, but he really liked Tina Turner. So I was like, Dad, I texted him at work and I was like, did you see about Tina? And he is sad, but he's okay. But I felt like I was delivering horrible news. I'm glad it's the day before his birthday, not his actual birthday. What were you? Sorry, go ahead. Did you find the movie?
Yes, it was actually a documentary. Came out in 2021, and it's on HBO. If you're interested,
cool. What's it called?
In watching it, it's just called Tina. So,
okay.
Yep.
I might watch that.
But it's an in-depth look at her life. I don't think I've seen it, but I do remember watching the trailer and it looked good. And the Rotten Tomatoes reviews are really good for it. Mm. So. Yeah.
You reminded me of something else I forgot to put in news. Did you see that they are redoing or they've already redone The Color Purple?
I did hear about that.
Yes.
They're like remaking it. So,
and
yeah.
I haven't seen the original. I can't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast, but I've definitely mentioned it recently to people because it was on Netflix. It might still be on there, but or maybe not even Netflix. It might be on HBO. It's on something I subscribe to. But I've never watched The Color Purple. And I think that's terrible because it's such a like popular, well-known movie. I just know it's kind of sad, but they're remaking it. And I knew because John Batiste, who I love, he on Instagram had posted the whole trailer and I watched it and it looks really good.
Okay.
So I'm excited about it.
And Halle Bailey is going to be in that movie, who we're going to talk about next week when we do The Little Mermaid. So
And then Fantasia Barrino is one of the leads and I hadn't seen her in years. She does have a killer voice. Fantasia, I even remember when she was on American Idol. I was very impressed with her.
Coming out Christmas later this year.
Yeah, so. That was the other thing. I noticed that the release date was Christmas, and I was like, oh, are they trying for an Oscar?
Might be pretty good.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Yes.
So RIP, though, to Tina Turner. Very sad that she did pass away. So also, we got some new trailers. There's a new trailer out for Oppenheimer, which comes out in July. Then we got our first trailer for Killers of the Flower Moon, the Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio project that has been in the works for who knows how long now. We finally got a trailer, though, last week, and it looks pretty good. It'll be out later this year. That Apple, it's going to be in theaters, but it's an Apple TV movie. So
now we just need to figure out when Devil in the White City is actually going to happen. Cause those are the two that have both been attached to Leo that people have talked about for like 6 years, truly at least three for each of them.
Yeah. Yep.
But okay. So Killers of the Flower Moon, I think looks really good. I mean, it's so up my alley, the content, who's in it, who directed it. But the first 30 seconds or so of the trailer, I was like, is this going to get better? But it did.
Yeah.
By the end. But it was good because it was a slow burn kind of a trailer. But at first I was like, this doesn't look like much is going to happen at all. But I know there's a lot of brutal murders and investigations and crime. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
It also just had its premiere at Cannes. And got a 9-minute standing ovation. So it is
not as long as not as long as Blonde. Allegedly got 12 minutes.
Yes, that is very true. Also, this movie is 3 hours and 26 minutes long. So,
you know, that's a bit much, but I'm much more interested in the content of the film, the series or whatever, the movie. It's going to be a movie. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, if it's Leo and Scorsese, I feel like mm-hmm. I can sit there for 3.5 hours.
Do you know what else I learned this week? Because Oppenheimer is one of my most anticipated films of the whole year. Cillian Murphy, who I've added to my list, I love the man. He has done 6 films with Christopher Nolan. 6?
Yeah, he's in a lot of them. Yeah. This is like the first one I think that he's been the lead.
Like the lead,
but
yeah.
He was in Batman, Inception. Right? Mm-hmm. He's been in a lot of his, I think he was in Dunkirk, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. And okay. I forgot he was in Inception. That was the one that I was like, oh, yeah. Anyway.
But he's done a lot of projects with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
So.
But I love me some Cillian Murphy.
So those are our news items. We don't have any corrections today. We do have lots of recommendations, though. I wanted to recommend a book that I have not finished yet, but I have started it, and it's been really good so far, so I can't see why I wouldn't recommend it when I'm done with it. It's If I Survive You by Jonathan Escoffery. Mm-hmm. This is a series of short stories. This is Jonathan Escoffery's like first novel, but it's about a Jamaican family that lives in Miami, and they face like a lot of different issues, like financial troubles, and they're dealing with like racism. Like the kid in the book is in school at the time, and you know the other kids aren't really being very nice to him. So and there's like a hurricane, Hurricane Andrew, and then like it kind of jumps forward a little bit later on in the book. So it's been good so far. Really like solid debut from this author that I hadn't heard of, but it made a lot of lists like in 2022 on like best books of the year list. So it was at the library the other day and I checked it out, and it's real short too, so it won't take you long to read, and it's short stories, so all of the stories are only like 30-40 pages. So I've read 2 of the stories so far and both were good. So
well, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I have 2 books to recommend. I read both of these. I was on a vacation last week, which is why I have so many recommendations. I watched a lot of TV. Because think of like delays in the airport or at night if you don't have anything to do, you know, because I wasn't like international travel. Anyway, the 2 books, one is Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. I talked about her last year. One of her books was one of my favorite books of the year. It was Part of Your World. And this is a follow-up. This doesn't have to do with that one, but it's of a very similar style. And I really like her writing. I like her characters. Definitely like a rom-com type feel. This one in particular was about doctors. And I think it was the 5th book I've read of hers. But what I like is she always incorporates like a real life issue. Like somebody actually has a mental health problem or a physical ailment. So in this one, people are talking about needing one of the brothers in this book needs a kidney transplant. So they talk about dialysis and all sorts of other things and about donors. So it's really like educational how she explains these things. And then the second one is Happy Place by Emily Henry. You've probably seen this 20 times on your Instagram because Emily Henry is wildly popular, and it is the cutest cover I've seen in so long on a book. But Happy Place, it was so weird though, Jared, the parallels in this book, because I had gone to Maine and the East Coast, like you knew.
Yes.
And this book takes place. I even said on the trip to Argent, I was like, this just makes me want to cuddle up and read a book about the East Coast. I said that because I was thinking about like Jessica Fletcher in Cabot Cove, Maine. And I was like, wow, I just want a good book that's about the East Coast. I opened this book. It takes place in Maine. Then it talks about Vermont, New Hampshire, and a couple places we went. And then they talk about Murder, She Wrote in the book. This girl's obsessed with Murder, She Wrote, and that's her comfort show. And then she also goes to this bookstore called Murder, She Read. That's like a cute bookstore in town. And I just couldn't stop laughing. And I was like, did Emily Henry like stalk me and then write a book where I am the character? But anyway, it was darling. It was so good. Of Emily Henry's books, I've read all of them. And there was only one that I really didn't like quite as much. And this one was great. So another winner. And then as far as shows, please get ready. So I did watch Queer Eye Season 7 on Netflix. Fantastic. I know I've said this on the podcast every time a season's come out. Queer Eye is probably one of my favorite, most uplifting shows I've ever seen. The guys are just astonishing at their jobs, but the way that they treat people, the people they select, the stories that they hear and delve into on the show are just amazing. And it's a low commitment. It's not like there's a ton of episodes, and it's just worth it. If you are feeling sad or downtrodden in any way, please watch Queer Eye. It is one of the best shows I've ever seen. I really mean that, of reality shows. Then Selling Sunset came back. A lot of people have been talking about that. It's definitely reality. Like, you know, it's for some people. It's not for others. I really like it. I like the drama. I like the fashion. And I am jealous in a way of the rich people in LA, but then I'm also like, wow, I don't want to be these people. So it's a good reminder. It keeps me humble, is what I'm saying. Then I watched, I think I told you, Jared, I watched Heat on Netflix. And if I didn't tell you, I thought of you because I know you watched it earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Heat
yeah.
was so good. Loved it. It didn't come out this year, so I can't put it in my top 10, but I thought it was such a great movie, and it was like prime 90s, that like kind of gangster, bad guy. There's like a bad guy and the good guy, and they meet up. They meet up to face off. It's Pacino. It's De Niro. It's Val Kilmer. It's everyone was in this film. It was so good. So if you need a good film on Netflix, Heat is on there. And then the last two shows, I have good things to say. SVU and Organized Crime, I still love them. Organized Crime, I like even better than SVU. But they had a crossover. They had like four or five episodes that were crossover episodes at the end to end the finale. And I was really grateful because I was worried the writer's strike was going to slow things down, but it didn't. They must have already filmed them. But they left on quite the cliffhanger, I guess, at the end of the Organized Crime episode. I don't even know if it was a cliffhanger, but they killed off a character.
Oh,
and
wow.
I really
okay.
liked this character. And I also was like, no, because it was, I didn't like the way he died. I personally wouldn't have wanted to write it that way, but it's okay that he died. So that's all I'll say about that. And then again, Benson and Stabler continue to flirt, and they should just be in love and like live their lives together already. But we're all still waiting. That's why we all keep watching. Then my last thing, I watched Beef on Netflix, Jared, and I have a beef with Beef, okay?
Okay.
I've waited all week to say I have a beef with Beef. I hated it.
Really? Okay. I haven't watched it, so.
Okay. I was really into it. Like, I was really into it more than halfway through. The end, just for me, was just a hot mess. I hated the end. I was so confused. I hated the characters. I thought so many of the decisions they made, I was like, why? And maybe that's what they want you to feel. I do think the show was like beautifully filmed. Loved that it was an Asian cast. Ali Wong is terrific. Is it? Oh my gosh, I can't even think of his name. Daniel. Yeah. Stephen Yeun. Stephen Yeun.
Yes. Yep.
Yes, love him. So it was great acting, but I personally just could not stand the final episodes. And it was so bad for me personally that by the end, I was like angry that I watched it to the end. Like, I kind of thought like, I want my money back. But some people, I know some people that have watched it and I think they loved it. I actually don't know how they thought about the end, but I was really disappointed by the end. But that could be a hot take and maybe nobody will agree with me.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I have not seen it. I've heard good things, but you know,
well,
if you
say
you don't like it, I may not check it out. Yeah.
You could feel totally differently than I did because I definitely see a case can be made where people really liked the way it ended. I just didn't.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. So, that's all of our recommendations this week here on the show. We've got lots of stuff for you to watch and read and listen to as well. We recommend books and podcasts and all kinds of stuff just every single week. So we will get into now our thoughts on Fast X or Fast 10 or whatever you want to call it. I don't know why every one of these movies has a different title structure, but it does. Sometimes it's The Fast and the Furious. Sometimes it's Fast and Furious. This one is just Fast X. So Fast X is out, released on May 19th, rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence, action, language, and some suggestive material. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes. IMDb is a 6.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, critics 54%, audience 85%, big split there. Understandable because critics don't really like these types of movies. Box office wise, $78 million domestically, $349 million worldwide. It's done pretty well. That's kind of a low opening for a Fast and Furious movie.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I would expect over $100 million for sure.
And that was today. Weekend. I checked today. So unless they haven't updated it, that was what it said today.
Okay, so not a ton of money for Fast X in terms of like some of the other ones in the franchise. Right. The synopsis for this one. Dom Toretto and his family are targeted by the vengeful son of drug kingpin Hernan Reyes. So that would be played by Jason Momoa. He plays that character. He's the villain in this movie. So Dom and the gang going up against Jason Momoa. This one is directed by Louis Leterrier, who is a French film director known for The Incredible Hulk, The Transporter with Jason Statham, Now You See Me, and Clash of the Titans. And next up, he will direct the TV series Dark Matter based on the book, which Katie has read. I have not read, but
it's
supposed to be very good.
One of the sci-fi things I liked.
Nice. That yeah. And Andy Weir books are your two sci-fi yeah. authors that you'll
yes.
read.
And Dune, whoever wrote Dune. Yeah. Oh my gosh, why can't I think of who
Frank
wrote
Herbert.
Dune? Thank you. Yeah. Wow. I feel so bad. I know he's passed away. I feel so bad. Okay.
And Louis also going to direct Fast X Part 2, whatever that is going to be called.
Also, I have a question.
Yes.
The synopsis, it said drug kingpin Hernan Reyes, but then when I was looking at Momoa's character, it said Dante. Was Hernan the dad? Or
yeah,
is Hernan Dante's real name?
I think Hernan is the dad.
Okay.
So,
I yeah. wasn't sure and needed to clarify.
Yeah, because are targeted by the vengeful son of drug kingpin Hernan Reyes. Jason Momoa is the son. So as
yep.
far as
yep,
I
yep,
know.
Yep.
So which you know, they give you like 45 seconds at the beginning to set that all up and you're supposed to understand
yeah.
why he is the
why
villain.
Wouldn't
so,
you?
Yeah. I mean that's all you need. I will say previous movies in this franchise have been directed by Justin Lin. In fact, a lot of them have been directed by Justin Lin. He did not direct this one though. And I would have to argue that he does a better job directing these movies than Louis does. So as we get into our likes and dislikes here in just a minute. So we'll take a quick break here on the show. We'll come back. We'll talk about the cast for this movie. It's a big one. And our likes and dislikes for Fast X. And we're back here on the show talking about Fast X. Of course, the man that has remained the constant in all of these movies from the beginning is Vin Diesel. And he plays Dominic Toretto.
Thank you, Jared. Vin does seem to be rather beloved. I haven't heard anyone say a bad word about him in normal life, everyday life. So anyway, I think I've mentioned this before, but he has a fraternal twin brother, which I think is fun because so do I. Vin is best known for Triple X, the Fast and the Furious franchise, and also for voicing the beloved Groot in the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise. Next up, he has 7 upcoming projects already, including the TV series I Am Groot, Triple X 4, and Riddick Furia, I think is how it's supposed to be pronounced.
So there's a lot of spinoff sequels.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I kind of want to be like, that's ridiculous. And then part of me is like, good on you for making a darn good living off of movies like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Now, next up, we have Jason Momoa. He plays Dante. I didn't do a crush alert. I recognize he's a gorgeous, gorgeous human being, but he's just not for me. Anyway, Jason is originally from Hawaii. He is best known for Aquaman, Justice League, Dune, The Bad Batch, and then also his role in Game of Thrones, if you remember that. That was the first time I saw him. Next up, you can see him in Chief of War, Minecraft, and Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Very nice.
Thank you. Then we have, Jared already said it, the cast is enormous in this film. So this is not even all the people, but some of them, all of them very recognizable names include Helen Mirren, Brie Larson, Charlize Theron, Rita Moreno, Ludacris, or Chris Bridges, if you want his real name, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, John Cena, Jason Statham, Natalie Emmanuel, Sung Kang, Tyrese Gibson, and more. And then, Jared, I have one embarrassing fact that I figured out during the film.
Okay.
There were 4 Oscar winners in this film. 4, all women, I said them first in the supporting cast: Helen Mirren, Brie Larson, Charlize Theron, and Rita Moreno. So say what you will, and I will, about this franchise, four Oscar winners chose to be in this film. So there you go.
Four Oscar winners, yeah. So, yeah. And yeah. There's the spoiler alert, but we won't reveal it here, maybe later in the episode, but a big character is coming back in the next one. You find out at the end of this particular movie, who's yes. also very well known. So
it took
actually,
me a minute to figure out. I was like, who?
This
was
is
like,
the
oh,
one
yeah.
before the credits. There's also one during the credits too.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about Fast X a little bit. First for our likes. One like is these movies always do a good job with music. The music fits the fast paced car, you know, glamorous, high-speed mm-hmm. lifestyle, and this one's no exception. The music is pretty good in this one as we bounce back between multiple locations and international destinations. So,
well, and I think I mention music a lot. I do like music, but I really want to recognize when a film does a good job choosing the music that fits the film, because some films occasionally do a really bad job of that. But I think this one, it's a lot of like rap, it's fast paced, it's loud music. I kept thinking like in the theater, I felt like an old person because I was like, it's so loud in here. But that's exactly what you want for a Fast and Furious movie.
Yes. So the music is good in this movie. Another like I had, and this is kind of a like condescending thing a little bit, and I think we disagree on this a little bit, but I thought Jason Momoa was actually pretty good in this movie. I thought he was one of the only people that was having fun in this movie and was kind of enjoying being there and getting to be in a Fast and Furious movie. I would say him, and then I also liked John Cena's performance as well.
Love John Cena.
I thought he was pretty good in this too. So
this is why in my comments I put that I was on the fence about this, because you're not the only person I know that has said the exact same thing, that Jason Momoa was having fun. I think Momoa was having fun and did a really good job of, like, he seems very comfortable with wearing nail polish, putting flashy outfits on, walking around and being like this big, burly, really attractive dude. But I feel like the acting was bad. I think, like, was he having a great time? And was he good at being kind of like a psychopath? For sure. But did I think, like, wow, superb acting? No, I did not.
Understandable. So yeah. I also
But I would agree with you that he and John Cena were the two that stuck out for me as well. So I'll go with that's a positive more than a negative.
Okay. I also don't know if... I thought his lines were pretty funny at times, just mm-hmm. from him like making fun of the franchise or making fun of things that have happened in previous movies.
Yes.
I don't know if those were written or if he just ad-libbed those. I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like a movie like this has a lot of script per se. So I don't know who was responsible for that, but I will say he added some comedy to the movie and his outfits were cool. I have another comment about outfits later on, but
yes.
It's in dislikes. So,
well, I've got a comment about an outfit I disliked too. So thanks for reminding me. I did. Oh, shoot. What was I thinking? Oh, no, Jared. Flashy outfits. Oh, the lines. It was something about the line. Oh, okay. There was one. Gosh, it just took me a second. Sorry, everyone. There was one scene where Momoa is like painting someone's toenails, and you see that he's sitting in between two guys that he's killed because he's insane. And that really creeped me out. I will say, like, that made quite an impression, because up to that point, I thought this guy is just like one of those snidely whiplash idiotic killers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or I didn't even really think of him as a killer. I thought of him as just someone who wants to destroy things and is, you know, doesn't care who he hurts in the process. I didn't think of him as a cold, hard killer. But when that scene happened, I was like, oh, that's spooky. And that added another dimension or a little bit more depth to his character.
Also, another like for this movie is they do incorporate Paul Walker in this one and his daughter Meadow. Of course, Paul Walker has unfortunately passed away, but they still reference him in these movies and bring him up from time to time. And obviously, Dominic's kid is named after Paul's character's name in the movie, Brian. So because Dom's kid is named Lil B. So but it is nice to include Paul Walker and kind of the remembrance. And obviously, he was in these when they started this franchise, and this franchise would not be as big as it is without him, because I know for a lot of people that is their favorite person in the Fast and Furious franchise. So
Also, I really like that they put Paul Walker in there. And I don't think it was CGI. I think that was like B-roll or something from when they recorded when he was alive. Like, I think that was from other scenes, you know, okay. that they had shot.
Yeah,
it looked like that to me, which I thought was cool that they still had that. I could be wrong because I know they have the technology to like do whatever they want these days. But to me, that looked like stuff that they had shot before in other films. And then they were like, we can insert it here and then have Ven add his own like dialogue and stuff. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. And then, yeah, his daughter, I was really impressed with myself, I guess, when we saw her as the flight attendant on the plane. I was like, oh, it's Meadow. She has a cameo. And I thought that was nice. But I also, this is going to sound so dumb, but I forget how beautiful Paul Walker was just as like a human being. I mean, that guy had like a good face. So every time they showed him, I was like, wow, I forgot.
Another like is you kind of just get what you expect with these movies. You expect cars, you expect, you know, some women,
scantily clad
women. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Although there was less of them in this one than there have been in mm-hmm. previous movies, I will say.
Yep.
And you go to exotic locations and you get to see that on screen. These movies are very expensive. They're big budget. So there's some fun there. And then, my final like is I did not think a lot of the action sequences in this movie were particularly good. But the one that I thought was the best was when they were like chasing that bomb thing. I thought that was the one that kind of reminded me the most of like a Fast and Furious movie where it was more about the cars than other stuff. So, and I'll talk more about the action sequences and dislikes, but I thought that one, which actually is like 40 minutes into the movie, was the best action sequence in the whole movie.
I couldn't agree more with you, and I want to talk about it in dislikes too, because I also only liked that action sequence was good because you're right. They were using the car and maneuvering the car to kind of like try to move the bomb. And then also I thought that was something that it was clever how they were working together to accomplish that goal. Like I still thought this is ridiculous. This would never happen. But I also was like, oh, they're actually thinking and working together, and it was high stakes, and I really liked it. So I couldn't agree with you more on that. I thought that was a good action scene. And the whole point of what you get what you pay for, I kind of do that because I can't say I walked away from this movie and was like, yeah, that was great in any capacity. But I think it's like, I don't want to say it's like Creed or something because those I really genuinely enjoyed. I think that this is just one of those movies where I'm like, I have to go. I have to see it, I guess. But it's exactly what I expect. And I even expect like bad acting, ridiculous lines, you know, and that's what I got. So I'm not like complaining about it. I'm saying part of me is like comforted with the fact that this movie was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I would agree. It's not like delving from the formula at all or switching things up. I mean, it's the same type of thing as other Fast and Furious movies. I will say it's a little more grounded in this one because the last one they literally sent Tyrese and Ludacris to space. So I'm glad they did not go like Interstellar, outer worldly.
I forgot about that until you just said it. Oh my gosh, I forgot they went to space.
So I'm glad we kept it on the earth in this particular movie. Okay, on to dislikes now for Fast and the Furious, Fast X. First dislike, the women in this movie, while there are a lot of women in this movie, basically don't have anything to do. And I think the biggest fault of this, which I was really surprised at, is Michelle Rodriguez. I mean, she's been in these movies for quite a while. And the fact that they give her character, Letty, basically like nothing to do in this one. Like she's in the first part. She's in the action sequence, the one that I liked that we just talked about, riding a motorcycle. Then after that, she gets arrested. And then she's basically just in prison the rest of the time with Charlize Theron and like does nothing. And then Charlize has like two scenes. Brie Larson, who I'll talk about more in a minute, has like three scenes. Helen Mirren's in it for 40 seconds. So the women are just like non-existent.
Yeah, that super upset me. It's par for the course with all the other movies we've discussed lately where like women just don't matter or there's a movie about women and it makes $7 at the box office. But I was surprised by this franchise in particular also because the four Oscar winners were all women and they had minor roles. Charlize Theron had a little bit more. But yeah, I was really shocked that Michelle Rodriguez didn't have a lot to do. in this film in particular, because she is such a prominent character in all the other movies, or as many movies as she's been in. So yeah, I was really disappointed by that.
Yeah, was not a fan of the women's storylines in this movie for sure. That leads into the next test. Like, the acting in these movies is not good. And I think it's apparent from like Jason Momoa and Vin Diesel. You have Jason Momoa, who's doing this one type of very kind of flamboyant out there acting. And then Vin Diesel basically is like acting like this is all serious and the most important thing in the world. And so they're acting like they're in two completely different movies. And then Katie just typed in the chat, Brie Larson. Brie Larson was awful in this movie. I'm sorry. She had like three scenes. She was so stiff in those three scenes that
you
she was
in. You don't
have
to apologize. And there were things. She did these like poses where she's it really looked like someone said, okay, and it's her first day of acting school. And they're like, we're going to do a magazine shoot. Pose and pretend you're like this bad bleep like chick that's, you know, like trying to be impressive and you're standing up to a man. I don't know. She like did these things with her legs, everything about her. And yeah, she is a beautiful woman in general, but I was like, wow, this, how the mighty have fallen was what I thought when I saw her, because, you know, she was in Room and was fantastic in that role, blew me away. I thought, where did this girl come from? How have I never seen her in anything? And I think she's just picked bad things ever since. But this was terrible. The acting was so bad. And I thought she added really nothing to the film either. And I didn't think there was any acting prowess at all. It was just so weird. But I'm just like not a Brie Larson fan personally.
Everybody was not great in this movie. Pete Davidson cameo was not good either. Had nothing to do with the plot of the movie, really. Could have cut that 5 minutes out for sure. Weird to see him in this for that long. And I think another dislike I have, and I don't know if they did this because of COVID or just because of everybody's schedules, but everybody is like in their own little groups. And I feel like that doesn't work well for a movie like this. And I think that's why that one action sequence worked, is because everybody was kind of together in that sequence. But you have the Ludacris crew who are off doing their own thing. And then you have John Cena off doing his own thing. And then you have Vin Diesel doing his own thing. And so everybody, and Brie Larson and Charlize Theron and Michelle Rodriguez, like they're all split up all over the place. I feel like that doesn't work well, especially when you want a movie about teams and family and building connections and things, to have everybody doing their own little like side quest the entire movie.
That's a really good point that I hadn't even considered, but I think you've hit the nail on the head that that was what did not work well with this film, because this whole movie is about family. And it was like the family was divorced this whole time. Like, you had the cousins and the Tweedledee and Tweedledum off in one corner, and then, and it didn't work well. And also, to me, that gets confusing. Like, you forget who's doing what and where they are. Like that one, we end up in Antarctica at one point, and I was like, when did this happen and how did they get there? And who could just go out there with like shorts and a coat on and be fine? It was just bizarre. And I agree. I don't think that worked well for the film at all.
Another dislike I had is, I know sometimes we talk about movies on this show and how they're not paced very well and they seem slow. I'm going to say the opposite of this movie. This movie seemed almost too fast at times. And I know it's called Fast and the Furious, but like the rapid cuts, the short scenes sometimes with like no setup or anything like that, it just felt like we were moving from one spot to the next so quickly that there was no time to like build any of these characters up. I mean, Jason Momoa, you don't really even figure out his motivations for why he is a villain, except for, like I said, that 2 minute scene at the beginning, and you're supposed to think that's enough. So whereas we just saw in Guardians of the Galaxy a really great villain that you learn throughout the movie what his motivations are and why he is the way that he is, and then you have this movie where it's just like everything is going so fast, there's no time to like set anything up or breathe before we get to the next scene.
That's a good thing to bring up, Jared, because I didn't really think about that. I do agree with you, though, definitely about the motivation of the villain, because you're right. We only get a glimpse of that at the beginning, and it almost seems like, it does seem like Dom remembers him, but it was almost forgettable because it had been so long. And he was like, it's Tuesday and it's been 10 years. I guess I'm going to go ruin people's lives now. Like, it kind of came out of nowhere, but didn't explain, like, if he'd been building wealth or something, if he'd been plotting, you know, all of these plans for several years. You just have no idea when, like, why he's decided, like, today is the day I'm going to go after Dom and his whole family, quote unquote family. And I did think, I thought the pacing was also bad, but I thought the movie was just way too long. This plot is not smart. This is not a movie that requires significant thought. And also, I think it felt longer to me because I thought it was about 2 hours too long. Not 3 hours. It was almost 3 hours. But I did think it was like 2 hours too long. But also, I think that what didn't help was what we both mentioned earlier about all these little side stories and people not being together. It just felt like it was different movies, and I can barely stand the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I just think too of like Hobbs and Shaw, which we reviewed on this show, and I think that is a lot better than this was, mainly because it was only focusing really on like two main people, The Rock and Jason Statham. And then the villain in that movie, there was only one Idris Elba, but they were able to like build him up a little bit more than they did in this particular movie with Jason Momoa. So another dislike that I had, let's see here. I had this thought. Why did the Ludacris crew never change their clothes? The whole movie, they're wearing the exact same outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Every scene, they're wearing the same thing.
Yeah, I would originally say it's because they didn't have money, but then Tyrese had money, so that wouldn't be the reason.
Yeah, everybody else changed clothes multiple times, but every time we cut to them, they were wearing the exact same thing in every scene. So
maybe they spent all the budget on the rest of the film, and they were like, we just don't have the money.
Maybe they did. I don't know. So also, the CGI in this movie at times is absolutely horrendous. That was another dislike for me. There is a scene when Dom is going down these steps in his car trying to stop this bomb.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just looks like the fakest thing ever. And then at the end, there's this big sequence at the Hoover Dam, of all places. And then he's driving down the Hoover Dam with his car and a little bee in the passenger seat. And that looked god-awful, too. Just so unbelievable. I mean, I get it. It's going to be kind of campy. It's a Fast and Furious movie. But, like, at least try a little bit. It looked bad for how much this movie cost. So
I was worried I was going to get like permanent eye damage from rolling my eyes so much while I was watching this movie.
Yeah, there are just multiple times where like stuff. And then like the final sequence when, you know, little B has to jump from John Cena's car to Dom's car. And it's like,
yeah,
that's like 15 feet apart. But for some reason, somehow he makes it like no problem. I was just like, he would have definitely like hit the asphalt for sure if this was real life. So
also, you know what? Now, since we just talked about costumes and stuff, the two things that just drove me insane. Well, one is just, I was like, I would never marry somebody like this. Dom, they showed a wedding picture when he marries Michelle Rodriguez's character. He's wearing a white muscle tank. Is that what we call them now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I just thought, nope.
I laughed out loud when I saw that on the screen.
I looked at Arjun and was so upset. And I was like, we've just started the film and I'm already furious.
That one is, like, you know, the Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious. I know. That's why I thought of it. And the other thing that bothered me is Lil B, when they were trying to save him, and when John Cena was like trying to get him out of that house that he was in with Jordana Brewster, he didn't have shoes on. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know how old this kid is, but we can't let children run around without shoes, especially if we're going to go fight bad guys. And I didn't see his feet again. I don't know if ever, but I also just thought, well, that's something I can't stop thinking about, like that this kid needs shoes. And then just while we're talking about two stunts, the two that I was like, no, I can't even fake suspend disbelief for this, was when John Cena and Lil B are jumped, like dropped out of a plane in basically a canoe.
And that John Cena somehow gets through airport security, no problem. Like, doesn't even have to check it. He's carrying it on the plane. Like, he's just a carry-on, so.
Yeah, and then Dom, like, really just everything that happens to Dom. I'm like, this is not believable. I don't think the physics add up. I'm not a physicist. But it doesn't add up, so it's not adding up here. So those things just drove me crazy.
Yeah, and then like the car race scene between Dom and Momoa, like, and the one guy dies. I was like, why was he even racing in the first place? Like, why are him and the other girl even in this race? I thought it was just going to be Vin Diesel and Jason Momoa. I don't understand that. So
I don't know.
Then there's a scene like the cameo with Pete Davidson. Like Tyrese like throws this dust in the air. Don't know what that was about. It had nothing, could not come up in the movie before that point. Didn't come up after that point. So, why did they have all of their money? Like, how did the all their money get taken? Like everything? Like, do they not have it in like secure bank accounts or separate bank accounts
also,
or what? So
I get it. Yeah, they made it sound like they had separate bank accounts, but that they all got hacked. Every single one.
Yeah, like all 12 of them. Yeah.
Sure. And then also, dang it, I keep forgetting what I'm about to say. Oh, Tyrese. Okay. His character, like, I get that the man is supposed to be dumb, but I feel like they make him, like, barely able to breathe and walk on his own. And it's just, like, even that made me roll my eyes. I was like, okay, he's not this stupid. Like, there's no way he's, like, in this band of merry men and he's this dumb. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Also,
a lot of it bothered me.
One of my final dislikes with the action sequences is that bomb action sequence, which is fun, but that bomb keeps rolling for like 20 minutes. Like it's heavy. It would have stopped.
Never detonates.
Yeah,
never detonates. It falls.
It catches on fire. It never blows up. But then, you know, how does Dom get it to not hit the Vatican? By using his car to hit a crane that swings around and hits the bomb and it goes into the water. So, and then he is able
to escape. Jared, don't spoil this genius film.
He's able to escape the bad guys because the shockwave from the bomb, he outdrives it somehow and is able to escape. And then, like, Helen Mirren is like, you're the world's most wanted. You just shot up to number one on the world's most wanted list. But yet they're standing in the city. He just caused all this destruction. And on a very high, like, balcony type where anybody could probably see him up there if they needed to go get him.
This might be the most I've ever laughed during an episode. Also, people should know I've had to mute myself several times because I can't stop laughing. So I think the only other dislike that I had was that there are definitely things in this film that, like, if you have not seen all the movies, which I have not, you definitely miss some context. Like, I had to be like, wait, his first wife died? Like, I didn't know that. And Arjun had to explain it to me. He's like, yeah, don't you remember? And I was like, no. I've seen, like, 3 or 4 of these movies, and I hated them all. I don't know who died. I don't care who died. Anyway. So I'm glad he was there to help me out. But I do think that that is not great for the movie, because although you don't have to have many brain cells to go to these films, I do feel like there are some storylines that if you don't know them ahead of time, you're not going to understand what's happening. Or like if someone disappears, you're not going to know why they mattered or that they've just come back or anything like that.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, a lot of our dislikes for this one in particular just come down like to the writing. Like that's kind of what it all centers around, is that the script is not very good. It's got too much stuff going on. And the action sequences are just outrageous at times. I mean, the beginning of this franchise, they were doing like more grounded action sequences that kind of made sense. And in this movie, there's not even that many action sequences where actual like cars are involved, just a couple. And it's, you know, a Fast and Furious movie. Like imagine going and seeing Top Gun Maverick. And they were like, we're not going to fly planes in this. Actually, it's just going to be Tom Cruise doing hand to hand combat at the airport. Do you enjoy that? So I feel like they're getting away a little bit from like what the franchise started on. So,
right.
Yeah. But, That's about all I have to say on Fast and Furious Fast 10. Do you have anything else?
Okay. No, I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay. My score for this one. Sometimes you just go to a movie and you're like you said, you know exactly what you're going to get. You laugh a couple times. You just glance at the outrageousness of it. And for that reason, I'm going to give this a 63 out of 100. I thought it was fine. You know, we had a lot of dislikes, obviously, but in the end, I had fun. I enjoyed my time seeing it. I think I did like Momoa a little bit better than you, so that bumps it up probably a couple points for me. And I've watched just about all of these, and the last one I thought was kind of really awful. This one I didn't think was as bad, but of the recent ones, I still think Hobbs and Shaw is is the best by far. So of the last couple. So
Wow. Well, I'm I don't have really much of an explanation. I'm giving it a 52.
Okay. Fair.
This did next to nothing for me. I really tried. I always am proud of myself for attempting it. But man, it felt long. The acting was so bad. And if everything else was better, like if the CGI was better, if Momoa, if I wasn't on the fence about him, just there were so many things that if they were improved, I would have thought more highly of it. But I just felt overall this was pretty bad.
Yeah, was not fantastic. Luckily, it's early in the summer, so we have lots of summer blockbusters still to come, and hopefully most of them will be better than this one was. So if you would like to follow the show, you can do that on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Just search Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook, and you can find us there. You can also find our Letterboxd profiles in the show description. Wherever you're listening, just click down, and you'll be able to click the links to our Letterboxd profiles if you want to follow us there. And then on our next episode, we are doing another Disney live-action remake. This one is The Little Mermaid. We'll tell you now that neither of us are super pumped to go see this movie just because the first one's pretty good. So I don't know why we need a remake of it. That's what we're going to be reviewing next, The Little Mermaid.
We'll see. We'll give it a fair shake.
Yeah, it's also 2 hours and 15 minutes. Why is it so long? It's The Little Mermaid.
I don't know, but it's better than 3 hours. So
That's very true.
I'll take the win.
So that's next time, the remake of The Little Mermaid.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy